Hour 4, G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Our training camp coverage continues, and it's brought to you by the on-time experts, the official AC heating and plumbing partner of the Dallas Cowboys. And it's also brought to you by our friends at Rhino Shield and Yardbird Southern Table and Bar. As Jared Sandler joins us now, Rangers pregame coming up tonight at about 8:30, first pitch 9 o'clock. Going to visit the Angels, little West Coast roadie all week, which gives you 5 full hours of G-Bag Nation. And you have the hottest team in the game. Winners of 8 of 9, two sweeps in a row. And making you believe, we just talked with CY back there at about 4:30 or so, if you want to go back with the Odyssey app. Saturday's game was incredible. And, you know, the game-winning hit from Marcus Semien. The game tying smash down the right field line from Jonah Heim. Like the 2023 vibes are definitely back in a big way, and we have the trade deadline coming up on Thursday. So we're going to be all over that and all of your other baseball storylines here with Jared Sandler here in just a second. Big day out at camp. Maybe the highlight over the weekend is Jerry Jones saying that the cheers are louder for CeeDee Lamb last year than Micah this year. Yeah. His troll game is still a 10 out of 10. When Jerry says those kind of things, I'm like, this guy's sharp as he's ever been.
I know.
He's sly as a fox.
He's loving this, man. He loves the back and forth, whether it was Zeke who last year, yeah, I don't have any urgency to pay CD. And now it's, people wanted CD way more than they want Micah. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, he's in his bag right now. He really is. He's hitting all the right notes. He's having a blast. This is his Super Bowl, man. This is what really gets him going.
Yeah, engagement farming.
Yeah.
Trolling the media and trolling his players into getting more clicks. It's time now for Jared Sandler, brought to you by Blue Nail Roofing. Good evening, Jared. How the heck are you?
What's up, guys? I'm great. Just back here in L.A. or Anaheim. Seems like we were just here because I guess we were just a few weeks ago.
Yeah, we were just talking about trying to run down there and watch one of these games over the next couple of nights, but it could be 3 hours back to Oxnard with the traffic situation, so we're going to kind of play that by ear. The more interesting thing, even though they're super hot, though, Sands, is maybe the trade deadline. What I'm reading, and I'd love it if you can tell me what you're hearing, is that high leverage arm and a right-handed bat. Would you expect one or both of those things to happen by the time we get to Friday morning?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess high leverage has some gray area. I do think that they are going to try and impact their bullpen and, someone to hit lefties, which, you know, it's stand to reason they'd probably try and find a right-handed bat. If that person can, face righties too, then all the better. Again, you know, I hate to sound like a broken record. It's never easy to opine on the trade deadline. The minute you think you have a clue, you really don't. But it's especially not easy when you don't know the financial implications of it. And I just don't know what, you know, is and isn't going to be on the table from a financial standpoint. Are the Rangers, is the front office able to maybe push for a little more than, you know, what they expect to have at their disposal financially or not? And it's tough to know. And obviously the more they get, the more they're going to have to make sure financially that they, you know, they have the capacity for it. So I do think that I do think, Gavin, that a successful deadline would be checking both of those boxes. And I can tell you that they are definitely in pursuit, I'd imagine, of both of those boxes, right? A guy to help the bullpen, maybe get you big outs, seventh, eighth, ninth inning. And then someone to help fortify against lefties. Beyond that, you know, I'm sure there are other things they might be, you know, looking for that if they come across, then great. But I do think that, you know, the two, I guess, player types you identified are probably priorities right now for them.
All right, Jared, I'm going to ask you this question, and I want you to play general manager. And you live with this baseball team. Do you want to add anything to it? Or do you want to let this thing ride and see what can happen since they've turned things around?
No, I want to add. I don't think you need to, you know, give up a lot of the future or anything, but I think sure. You can add I think you can add in a practical way that doesn't, you know, there are two ways to go about it. You can get, you know, you don't need to get the top end reliever who's a rental and thus maybe not have to give up a ton in terms of prospects. And you know, if you're getting a platoon guy who really is best used only starting against left-handed pitching, then, you know, that's not going to be that expensive. Or you get a guy who's controllable. You know, maybe you do give up a decent prospect package, but because you're going to have that guy who's got a proven track record for the next 2 to 3 years. But I just think when you have a chance to get in, you got to put yourself in a good position. And when you've got DeGrom and Eovaldi, it's just tough to, you know, to just look at that and be like, ah, you know, we're not really going to give this a shot. You know, that doesn't mean you have to go all in, right? I think it's tough to be in that aggressive of a mindset when you're not really locked into a playoff spot. You know, if the Rangers had the best record in the American League right now, then maybe that gives you a little more freedom to be aggressive, right? The Tigers have a little more freedom to be aggressive. Or if they had a situation where all of their good players were going to be, you know, free agents or a lot of them or whatever, then, you know, maybe you're more aggressive. But they obviously don't need to put all their chips in the middle, but I also think it would be unwise to at least not make an effort to give your team a better chance to compete, especially given that you've got the best pitching and the best defense in baseball. That plays in the playoffs. And, you know, maybe with a few tweaks and a hot streak, you can have a run similar to 2023.
So you don't want anything to regret. You don't want to look back and say, okay, we didn't make a move and now I regret it. You want to go ahead and make a move because you don't want you want to push the chips to the middle is what you want to do.
Well, I think it's a good team. I think again,
I do too.
There are teams like last year's team. I thought their approach last year was probably appropriate, right? I don't know that anyone felt totally inspired last year that was a team that can make a run. They didn't really give up much of anything in getting Andrew Chafin and Carson Kelly and, you know, whoever else they added. But they did a few things to just say, hey, all right, you know, we're going to try and help. And if you guys make a run, you guys make a run. But there's nothing that really inspired confidence. I look at this team as similar to the 2015 team. Their record, well, now is actually better than the 2015 team at this point, but they were kind of a middling team, but there were so many components of that 2015 team. You're like, this is a much better team than their record. And, you know, that team kind of started to show its face once the calendar turned to August. This team's starting to do it now. You know, they have the second best run differential in the American League, to whatever degree you buy into that sort of statistic. You know, their offense was the element of the team that was lacking, but that was also the element of the team that we felt most confident in based on track record of the guys on the roster going into the season. And now they're starting to turn things around. And I'm knocking on wood, right now this team's really healthy. And you look at the Astros, they're not. And that's not anything anyone needs to apologize for. That's just the way it goes. But when you got a healthy group and you got the pitching this team has, I'm not saying you need trade Sebastian Walcott for a rental or anything like that. But what I am saying is I think you owe it to the guys in uniform and out of respect for the fact that this playoff system in Major League Baseball lends to a team getting hot and making a run like the Rangers did in 2023 to at least give yourself a chance to get hot and to have the right pieces in play to try and do that. And I don't think that they need a total overhaul, right? I think they could make a deep run by maybe adding a role player here or there on the position player side and, you know, making sure they got a little extra depth in the bullpen.
Jared Sandler with us here on The Fan. How much is the Emmanuel Clase stuff just throwing everybody through a loop right now?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's pretty nuts. Just, you know, let's take the Rangers side of, you know, this out of it. That's a big name. With all due respect to Luis Ortiz, when Luis Ortiz gets put under the microscope, I mean, yeah, that's fine. It doesn't move the needle from like a Q rating standpoint, but Emmanuel Clase absolutely does. And then just from a Rangers standpoint, I don't think the Rangers were really going to be in play for Emmanuel Clase, who was perhaps going to be traded, or at least there were going to be conversations about him because he's on such a ridiculously team-friendly deal for how good he is. the Guardians, if they did trade him, were going to want a pretty appealing prospect package. I don't think that the Rangers were necessarily knocking down that door, but there's always a domino effect. And when Emmanuel Clase is no longer available to three other teams who maybe were legitimately in the running, they're now going to turn their attention elsewhere. And, you know, it's just the trickle-down effect of, you know, how taking a guy like Emmanuel Clase out of the market. And it's not just Clase. You know, I think Felix Bautista is also out of the market because of his shoulder issues that have popped up the last few days. So, you know, the top-end relievers thinning. Now maybe you have to go to the setup guys and think, well, can I turn this setup guy into, you know, my closer for a team that's in need and whatnot? And those are the waters I think the Rangers would be playing in, you know, the setup guy pool. But now those guys might be targeted by other teams who otherwise were going to be targeting Felix Bautista or Emmanuel Clase, for instance.
Is Pete Fairbanks in a reunion there a name that would be interesting to you? It seems like the Rays, I mean, they just made the Danny Jansen deal, the Brewers trying to do that. They might be selling. I mean, is Pete Fairbanks an option financially?
Yeah, so financially, yes, he is. He'll be a free agent at the end of this year. I think he'd be due about $2 million the rest of the way. I think the Rays are, you know, one of those teams that they're always going to be buying and selling. And I think they, you know, they always look for the opportunities. And because Pete Fairbanks is a free agent at the end of this year, I think there might be a team option to his contract. But, you know, that's just not Tampa's MO to, you know, they got, it's almost like, you know, they always have this, you know, ammunition waiting to be used. And so I don't know that they plan on bringing Pete Fairbanks back. So, yeah. I don't know what the cost would be. You know, he's obviously a really good reliever. He's not having as good of a season this year. The strikeout numbers really haven't been there. And the walk numbers aren't necessarily sexy. But, yeah, you know, he's a guy that I think the Rangers could target for sure.
Jared Sandler here with you on the Fan. Rangers baseball coming up tonight, 9 o'clock first pitch against the Angels. It's been a good trade deadline preview with you here. I guess my only other question to add a little bit more context is, at what point could or would Sebastian Walcott be in the mix, or is he just an untouchable kind of guy? And then would you have to include him if you're targeting a real, like, star player?
You know, when you say be in the mix, you mean be in the mix to be traded or be in the mix to come up and impact the MLB
team? At the trade market.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that he's absolutely, I don't believe he's untouchable. Now, again, I don't think they're like racing to move him or anything, but I don't think he's untouchable. I think it would take, you know, a legitimate, like, this guy's going to be an all-star, you know, caliber type player with multiple years of control for them to consider moving Sebastian Walcott. But those guys do get traded at the deadline. And so, you know, I think if it's a position player, the Rangers, that's an area in which, you know, maybe their farm system isn't the strongest right now. You know, Yolfran Castillo's a young infielder who would be appealing. You know, Dylan Dreiling was their second round pick a couple years ago, but, you know, on the pitching side, they've got some arms who could appeal to people. But yeah, I don't know that the guy who would be, deserving or you know, is of the caliber that would justify Sebastian Walcott being in the trade is out there for the Rangers, you know, in a realistic standpoint. But I don't think the Rangers look at Sebastian Walcott and think under no circumstances will we even have the conversation.
You're the man, Sands. Have fun down there, and let's go sweep into the ball club. What do you say?
Hey, that works, guys. You know, the Rangers have never had a Cy Young Award winner, and they've got two legitimate Cy Young candidates. And I just think, you know, following that sort of thing's fun. Jacob DeGrom and Nathan Eovaldi, and Jacob DeGrom back on the hill tonight.
I love it. Have fun, buddy. There he goes. He's at Jared Sandler on Twitter. DeGromination will ensue at about 9:05 tonight, right here. About actually 9:20 there in the bottom half of the first inning. Probably looking at 9 or 10 strikeouts over six innings again tonight. Sound about right here for Jacob DeGrom. Angels are scuffling, you know, after kind of being in the mix. I think they've fallen a half dozen games below 500 or so. I think they've lost 7 of 9 coming out of the break, and they are primed to get their asses swept in their home stadium here by your Texas Rangers here. Okay, on the other side, There was another injured Cowboy today. What do we know? Who is it? And, you know, what would be the contingency plan? We'll get into those stories and everything breaking across the world of sports here next in Oxnard on The Fan. Welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. It's time to hit the expressway. Brought to you by the on-time experts. Okay, G-Bag today is coming up here in 6 minutes, and LA Live's coming up there at 5:40. Big old day of... Oh, I got to sneeze.
I wish you shook it off.
Nice, dude.
Nice, man. Yeah.
That's crazy.
I sneezed into the mic, I think, when we were at Shell Shack.
Yes.
We were going to try and make it a thing where we could just do that, kind of like the burp.
Okay.
You know? So, just so you know, obviously, it's your call.
Yeah, I thought, well, that's the second time that happened today. Earlier during three live mics, by the way, we're going three live mics every day. There's practice right out of the gates. I had to throw it to you very quickly, and then I sneezed. That one was just a false alarm. Anyway, massive day of football. Deion Sanders was rumored to be stepping down for health-related reasons earlier today. Press conference said he was in a battle with bladder cancer. He whooped bladder cancer, but he had to get his bladder removed in order to get the job done. So you would understand if somebody, you know, just decided to move off into retirement as a result of something like that. He says he's going to keep on coaching.
Yeah.
So best of luck to him, and thoughts and prayers there to the Deion Sanders family. I mean, I think that might have been part of why Shador is able to keep such great perspective through the draft process. Hell, if dad's battling cancer, my draft position is you know,
insignificant.
Pretty insignificant. Yeah.
Sure.
George Pickens interview, by the way, coming up on YouTube at 6 o'clock. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel here at The Fan. It's Dallas Fan Cam, and you'll get that that packaged Pickens interview. Did a heck of a job. Had a lot of fun chatting with him. Everything just continues to be a 10 out of 10 for George Pickens. Now, we are standing by and anxiously scanning Brian's face anytime he picks up that phone and checks his text messages, because Tyler Guyton went down today, and he did walk off. I've seen the video of him walking off the field.
Yeah.
There was definitely some limp going on there. You know, I don't know. Do we have another ankle sprain?
Well, it might be another ankle sprain. I know Vach Lombardi texted me, and he said he saw him walking, no boot, no crutches.
Oh, walking recently.
Walking recently.
Okay.
So I'm just waiting. And then I reached out to Todd Archer, who would probably know, and Todd says he hadn't heard anything yet. So everybody's kind of pins and needles right now, waiting to see. But Vach said he saw him walking, no crutches, and no boot, so that might be a good sign right there.
Has any depth at tackle impressed you enough to feel like a guy
has been pretty good at right tackle? I mean, he was playing right tackle for Steele, and now Steele's back in the mix. So maybe tomorrow we'll see. They've been really playing both left and right. They haven't been crossing over. There hadn't been any swing. Maybe we'll get a swing tackle when this thing ends in camp. But right now, they've pretty much been staying right and left. And on the left side, though, that's Austin Richardson and also Thomas, the second year.
Yeah, Nate Thomas.
Nate Thomas from Louisiana. So we'll see how they – we have an off day tomorrow. We're back at it Wednesday and see what the combination looks like then. We'll have coordinators here tomorrow, so maybe we can find out a little bit more then, too.
I thought one of the biggest takeaways from today's practice was how much Kevontae Turpin was involved. What else stood out to you guys, or, you know, analyze that?
No, I mean, it sounds like it's not just lip service with the offense stuff that they want to do. I mean, we saw everything that they talked about with the pre-snap motion, with the use of the tight bunch formations.
Condensed.
Really worked the middle of the field well. I mean, they had that one play underneath route. I think it was to one of the tight ends. And then Turpin was also open a little bit 10 yards further down the field, where they just ran crossing patterns. And to me, like, the middle of the field, when you've got CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens, we've talked about this with the Ferguson thing, it does sound like it's going to be wide open with the way they're kind of constructing this. So I like what we've seen. I like some of the new wrinkles that they've got in the running game. It's not anything that's like, holy crap, we're wowing. They're not reinventing the wheel here.
No,
but it's another level to what we're used to.
I think if they're going to be good running the ball, it's going to be with, I keep saying, those inside three. I think it's going to be the inside game if they can get that push to the point and then have those backs make that cut. And, you know, they've got athletic tackles with Steele and then with Guyton and that ability to cut off and to reach and stuff. If they want to go a little wide or they want to cut that backside off and give the backs the ability to cut. I've been impressed with what I've seen with Sanders. I've been impressed with what I've seen with Blue. So they might have something that they can kind of hang their hat on with that.
Yeah.
We've seen some of the counter stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how Rob Jones got hurt yesterday. They ran the counter and he tried to kick out and then unfortunately hurt his neck. But they've been trying to run the ball. It has been to try and down block and kick it and then run the ball up inside more than say on the outside. Outside run game has been a little bit about Turpin,
mm-hmm.
Handing him the ball and letting mm-hmm. him just explode to the edge. Yeah,
yeah. I think defensively, Hooker and Ezeraku and Elam all had some pretty good moments today. You had the deep ball with George Pickens, which was nice, but I think that quick passing game the way they've set up the quick game, especially with guys like Turpin with that type of speed and stuff, like they're setting it up really nicely to just create easy 5 to 10 yards. I think that's really, really encouraging.
Rangers baseball is coming up at 8:30. DeGrom's on the hill. We have a proper round tripper coming up at the top of the hour. Wolchuk's going to take you around the bases. It's time now to go into the Pimp Cup. Lucius, D-back of the day.
Yeah, yeah. Check, check, check. 1, 2. My mic sounds nice. All right, let's get it. G-Bag of the Day. We do it every weekday on the Fan 530. If you see anything floating out there, don't be afraid to hit me up at Lucky Lucius P, which you guys have been doing. I've been getting through the emails this weekend. I'm almost finished, but sit tight. Sit tight. I got you. Lucius Alexander on Facebook. You can find me there. You can also follow us if you find G-Bag Nation on Twitter. This is day 4 for this champion sound. SEC Media Day reporter Savannah Avery from KOMU, she asked Missouri Tiger Zion Young about alpha males, and it got real interesting.
You guys kept throwing around the term like alpha males in your locker room and within your team. Is that a thing, or can you elaborate a little bit more on that and what that means?
This is a quick. Would you rather date a like a if you were in a
yeah.
Let's see. I'm gonna do an animal example. If you're in a tiger. Would you want to date a cat?
Cat.
No. You don't want to date a cat. You wouldn't want to. Well, of course, it's tiger's a cat. It's a bigger version of it. It's the cat. You know, it's all around the stuff. But you don't want to date a cat, though. Not something we bring. Nah, you know what I mean? So that's the difference. Like, it's more so of like, not in day. I mean, alpha male. Like, who? That's what we're recruiting. That's what we're standing on. Guys is alpha males. Guys is where their feet at. And guys is very vocal and want to compete, you know, and have an edge on them. You know what I mean? So. That's more so being specific. You know what I mean? You wouldn't want to date a cat. You would rather date another tiger, right? Or a lion. Something more manly.
Absolutely.
Something more manly.
I so want to hear her follow up to that answer, to that question.
Yeah.
All right, let's see here. Let's go to Mets versus San Francisco Giants. Keith Hernandez.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, he's back.
He was tired of hearing a fan heckle. He had a solution for it.
Mauricio. And Mauricio tops one foul on a sweeper, nothing and one.
That was a weak swing.
Mauricio's last start came Tuesday against the Angels. He went 1 for 3.
I'm going to put a hot dog. Get that guy a hot dog so he can chew on something and shut up.
I think he can hear you. Grounded toward the middle, and that's a base hit.
Shut up.
Yeah, that's odd because the Mets are pretty good. Like, how is it? Oh, they must have been on the road at a crappy team.
Yeah.
San Francisco.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
All right, let's go. What's up? Go ahead, bro.
There can't be more than 10,000-15,000 fans in the seats to get a...
San Fran.
You know? To get that clean of a mic?
Yeah.
I mean, you get a full house, even people, like, playing with their popcorn and just making small talk will create that...
We got Scotty farting that one time. It's a pretty clean mic there. Yeah, that's true. Yep. We're getting better on those mics.
Hey, Coach Prime today told us that he was dealing with a health situation, but he's clean. Good bill of health, apparently. Had bladder cancer. Doesn't have a bladder or something like that. Something crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's been rocking the pins. He brought a little levity to his press conference.
Now I depend on the pin. You know, if you know what I mean. I truly depend on the pin. Like, I cannot control my bladder. So I get up and go to the bathroom already 4 or 5 times a night. But then I'm sitting up there waking up, you know, like my grandson. We're in the same thing. You know, we got the same problem right now. We're going through the same trials and tribulations. We kind of see who has the heaviest bag at the end of the night. Like, it's ridiculous. But I'm making a joke out of it, but it's real. Like, it is real. It is real. It is real. So if you see porta potty on the sideline, it's real. Okay? I'm just telling you right now, you're going to see it. You're going to see the practice. You're going to see one because it is unbelievable. Like, dozing off and waking up. First thing, I'm grabbing my crotch to see if I peed on myself.
Wow. I would say that makes him the official, undisputed, modern generation king of sports swagger. To be able to have that conversation and not lose an ounce of cool.
Nope. No, just positive.
Good for him, dude. Man, he's losing body parts left and right, man. Yeah. From the toes now to the bladder. Still getting it done. So is he alleging that he's going to have like a bag with him on the sidelines?
Porter potty. He's going to pop in there.
I dig that, man. Got to get one of these Jerry Joneses.
Yes,
I think there's probably a permanent solution for him. You know, a little hip bag or something.
Yeah.
So he can get off the depends. Or
sounds so painful.
Yeah, that press conference today, I didn't know it was like a Carucci Tran rollout.
Yeah, that was pretty wild.
Like, yeah, now we got that, bro. I got that one in the bag. That's why I'm standing. That's why I'm fighting for my life right now, fam.
That's my reason. That's my why.
Yeah.
That's my why, bro.
Speaking of pee, yesterday was a church day. I pray you got your blessing. I got a combo pack right here. I don't know why these things are mentioned in church. Here's a bishop said he's got a pee.
Was dead. He set up. I got a pee. Hallelujah.
I got to pee.
And then we got another pastor. He was deep in his duffel. And he was like, hold on.
I'm getting ready to fly this kite, y'all. Ambassadors, don't want nobody else until I finish hooping. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you got to pee, hold your pee till I'm finished.
Yeah. I was holding it big time this morning on my Uber ride. About looked up at the clock, 46 minutes to go. And you have that thought, don't you? Do I want to ping the Uber and let them know we need to swing off and hit this gas station? But then I thought of the time that Mike Bassick, Jeff, and I were on that same drive, and it's almost impossible in Southern California to find a gas station that will actually let you use the public restroom. So I said, I'm just going to have to raw dog this thing. And I thought I might have a blowout by the time we pulled into that Holiday Inn. And we take the exit, still got 12 minutes to go. Oh, boy, I was sweating.
One more right here. I got a Brian Rodas question, a long glazing question for George Pickens.
See, yeah, I was going to ask you because I was a scout in the NFL for 13 years, and I've never seen anybody track the ball better than you.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that goes back to your days at Georgia, and I'm watching. Yeah. We all watch tape of you, and I'm like going, there's nobody that tracks the ball like this guy. And I've seen the great ones. I've been – but, how do you pick that up? Because – I could say, I'm watching you, I'm like, when he's seeing this ball right off the hand.
Yeah.
So when does it, like, I mean,
here we go.
You never lose track of it. No. Everybody else is losing track, but
yeah. Because the key to it is looking up.
Up.
A lot of people.
There you go.
How many was that? Was that 3 questions in one?
I was pretty strong.
It's a 3-peat, yeah.
Might have been a GP3 question, you
I
know?
Love George's little, yeah.
Yeah, he's getting fired up.
He knew what I was talking about.
Yeah,
handled it a little bit better than Jared Sandler did not 3 weeks ago,
yeah,
Brian.
I was
right back on in your bag.
Right back in my bag.
Yeah,
there he goes. Is it Mizzou Zion Young, our 3-time champ? Is it Keith Hernandez, tired of the heckling coming from the Giants fans? Coach Prime with his depends at the presser. You have the church combo platter, the two gentlemen that need to go number one, and the long glazing question for George Pickens there. If you want some more GP, go back and pop in about 4:15 or so. That's when he sat down with us, had a great conversation with him, and that's going to be my vote here today. Chief, how about you?
I like that. I'm going to go with the champ.
We're tied at one, Lucius.
SEC Media Day.
2-1, Wolchuk.
I'm going to go Coach Prime.
2-1-1, Brian.
Myself.
By a score of 2-2, we have a tie for the G-Bag of the Day Championship. Did not have that on my bingo card.
I like your style, Broadus.
Unpredictable. Brian Broadus, I'm going to post an Insta-poll here at G-Bag Nation on Twitter, and you'll be voting them up. We'll announce the winner here in about 15 minutes or so. It's time now, without further ado, to stay in the Pimp Cup, where Lucius has L.A. Live.
It's a Monday-Friday edition of L.A. Live, right after the great Rick James.
Orange and squares, it's time to smoke. Fire up this funk and let's have a toke. It'll make you dance some of everything. Everybody get high.
Jason, I want to let all of the sensitive people know you picked the wrong show. All I got is raw, hurtful
Hey, this is LA Live for July 28th, 2025. It is a Monday-Friday edition of LA Live. Welcome in, Tolos. Welcome in, first-time, last-time, and long-time listeners of the station. Hope everyone had a good weekend. Hope good, safe weekend, you know what I mean? Shout-out to you out there. Have you ever had a July workout in a Texas gym with no AC?
Woo! That's a leave, Lucius.
Y'all,
that's a
man.
Leave.
Yeah, it's life changing, bro.
That's a leave. Get out of there.
Never just voluntarily, Lucius. You know?
Nah, it's a life changing situation.
It's like prison.
Bro. It was really good. All I did was sweat. We did some clings, and the clings right there kind of got crazy. I was clinging on for dear life at one point.
did we wear gloves and stuff? I'm sure with the sweat and all that, with the bar, was that a problem with the clings?
Nope. All I had was shorts on, socks, and shoes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, everything
beast
else.
Beast mode.
LA Live is sponsored by Greystone Roofing and Construction. That is greystone-roofing.com. Monday, Friday vibes are just where I go over some things I seen on the timeline over the weekend. And boy, oh boy. Hold on. This Klay Thompson-Meg Thee Stallion relationship has players, real true life players, coming out of pocket. Wow. Coming all the way out of pocket over this relationship. I don't know what triggers him about this.
Hate to see it.
Jealousy and envy.
Yeah.
Last week, Big Shaq popped out on his big podcast, and he has some hate for Klay Thompson and Meg Thee Stallion. Shaq said he gives their relationship, what, 6 weeks?
6 weeks.
Call it a little summer fling, just a little summer love. Then this weekend, Houston rapper Slim Thug, the boss of all bosses. Oh, my God. When I come down, I be throwing up the north. 18 short, and I'm going to break your ass off. Oh, my God. Come on, man. Who the hell stole Slim Thug's 83s? You got beef? Oh, Lord, meet me in your yard. Slim Thug, he has something to say about Klay Thompson and Meg Thee Stallion's relationship. Looks like Meg gifted Klay Thompson a 300K AP.
Oh, my gosh, bro.
300K AP, Audemars Piguet. AP, spicy. I busted my check in my Nikes. Slim Thug, who looks like he goes live on Instagram in between lift pickups. I don't know if you've ever seen Slim Thug's little videos that he does. And he gets to the car and starts ranting about something. Look like he's like a Lyft driver or whatever. He has something to say about that AP watching. Listen to this.
So don't ever f***ing be mad at no. Just accept the no and the rejection.
What? Hold on. Let me rewind this a little bit, give you a little bit more context.
Okay.
The internet has pulled so many receipts of Slim Thug and his thirsty comments under Meg's Instagram posts. Now, he says those are not even thirsty comments. They're just support because she's a Houston artist or whatever.
It's just support.
All right, Kev. That's a good angle.
It goes back years.
I'm just showing love, you know, one artist to another.
It's just good for city morale.
Yeah, here's one of them, just to see him.
Just waiting on my day, kid. I'm just waiting on her to come to Houston and hit my line. Like, hey, I'm in the town. Pick me up. You know what I'm saying? It's only a matter of time at this point. She brought me out in Houston. I know she got a crush on me by this point. She danced to two of my songs. say I'm in there. I think I'm in there. What y'all think?
Now, he said that's just support because she's from Houston and it's not him hitting on her or anything like that. It's just all jokes. He likes to troll on the internet. Okay, man, whatever, bro. But why are you sounding hurt over this situation? Oh, my God.
So don't ever be mad at no. Just accept the no and the rejection and know that if you a tough motherfucker like me, you gonna get your time to shine. They have to live what they told you no. Okay, if it ain't me, let's see how that work out for you. Let's see what you end up with. Y'all gotta realize, man, that's as much as I like she the stallion, I want to be treated like the king, man. She a whole queen. That's expensive. Did you see the watch she bought that 300? Man, what kind of gift you got to buy back if she give you a $300,000 watch? I can't have no woman little boy in me. You know what I'm saying?
Wow. Yes, I would say if they had just broken up, it'd be starting to sound stalkery.
Yeah, it's a bit weird.
Is he kind of shaming Clay a little bit for accepting such a gaudy gift?
Okay, so it's an expensive gift. Sounds like he's basically saying for himself, to me, this is what it sounds like he's saying, that I can't afford to keep up with a girl that's gifting me $300,000 type of gifts. Maybe Clay can, but I can't.
Okay.
So should be little boy in me, in a sense? But now, I guess Clay's got the money, he could do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why are we having this conversation about what triggered this, bro? What triggered this? First is, I can take a no and move on, but I'm going to watch it and see what happens. And then we're talking about this watch that she gifted him, and you wouldn't accept something like that because you can't keep it. I don't know what's going on. Sounds hateful, bro. Especially with all of these little receipts right here. Maybe we're misstepping because he did come out and trying to straighten us out a little bit that he wasn't hating on Clay or anything. Hold on, man.
Why you talk about Clay? Where did I talk about Clay? I said I can't afford to buy gifts that back for girls like that. I know Clay can't. Did I say he can't do it? Or no, you dumb. I wasn't talking about her the whole fucking time. I was talking about...
Not about the stallion. This is about anybody who ever told me no. I've never in life tried to actually holler at the stallion, you stupid. I'll just be joking and trolling y'all stupid. They say I'm jealous.
That's a great explanation. But when you get shot down, I was just joking. Anyways,
yeah, I was never serious. I wasn't actually
not even my type. I don't even like smoke shows.
I seen one clip of she posted some lingerie or something she got, and she posted it to Instagram. And he was like, "Put that on for me." But I guess he's just joking, bro. I don't know what's going on. This is not looking good, Slim. You need to chill this out, especially the response back to gaslighting. You're stupid for thinking I was trying to hit on her. She thought you was trying to hit on her. She went to the Coachella stage and said this.
Y'all know where the f*** I'm from. And no, Slim Thug, just told me I want you. I just like your music, man.
Okay. So we're wrong for thinking that, but she ain't wrong for thinking that. That's all I'm saying, bro.
Special lady, I don't think I've ever seen a successful, famous rapper look so swagless, you know?
And Shaq and whoever else is hating. There's so many people hating on this Klay Thompson pulling Meg Thee Stallion situation. I'm just saying, give Klay Thompson some energy when you see him out here, because people are asking him dumb questions in public about Meg Thee Stallion and everything. Just give him some props on the Mavs, okay? That type of thing. Hey, we want to see you have a good season, Clay. We see you in your bag. You in your duffel right now with Meg. We want to see you have a good season, bro. I know you're feeling good. These haters off your back. Good Lord. Yeah, man, I seen Slim Thug on the timeline like that. I said, say that ain't so, bro. Say it ain't so.
That's disheartening, man.
That really is disheartening. All right, here we go real quick.
Ladies and gentlemen, how about a nice warm round of applause to welcome the world's greatest blues singer, the king of the blues, B.B. King!
I was into a lot of blues Sunday, brothers.
Were you?
A lot of blues, chilling back.
Gatemouth Brown?
Who?
Gatemouth Brown.
No, a lot of B.B. King, Bobby Blue Bland, Little Milton.
Okay.
and type of thing. Hey, hey, the blues is all right, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that type of thing. All right, L.A.
Those
Live.
Those guys were way ahead of it, man.
100%, man. They made them guitars talk. Made them talk.
Lucille.
Some important things I've seen on the timeline this weekend, Monday, Friday, vibes in L.A. Live. Hey, hold on.
Every day I have the blues.
This is a show,
every
man.
Every day. Every day I have the blues. When you see me.
The criminal.
Talented people.
The criminal investigator. What were you
thinking? A lot of talented people on that stage, man. A lot of talented people on that stage.
The criminal investigation of Smokey Robinson grows as a fifth woman comes forward accusing Smokey Robinson of being a nasty man. Seen that on the timeline. So run, Smokey.
His wife's involved in this, too.
Yeah. Run. Run.
She's an accomplice.
Run. You better. AllHipHop.com is reporting that Uncle Shannon, not so sharp, settled his assault case for $23
million. Yeah. Dang.
Allegedly $23 million right there. What the hell? He retired that OnlyFans girl.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, his daughter's out here working jobs.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'll be lit, bro. I'll be so lit. Pops!
That's Jerry
real?
Work right there.
You got me out of here working?
Yeah.
And you retired the girl? Okay. Yeah. And hackers done got into the T app. You guys ever heard of the T app?
Oh, my.
I don't know. What is this?
Is this the one that, like, ladies can check on guys app?
Yes.
Is that what this is?
Yes, oh, yes. Okay, it's kind of like a spinoff of that Facebook thing. Like, hey, yeah, here's the cheaters, and here's, like, the creepy guys in town.
Yeah.
And they post all of their information there.
Scouting reports on these guys.
Basically.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah. The T app.
What are you getting into?
Yeah, it's supposed to give, like, safety to women when they're out here dating and this with these weird men in the area. Women can flag your potential negative behaviors and positive behaviors. So you can have a good report on that little app. How about that?
I wonder what the percentage is of good reports on
very
that
small
app.
Yeah, I don't think they're really giving good reports away because they're going to keep them to themselves, right?
Yeah, that's true. They're going to gatekeep the good ones.
Gatekeep that one. They can also perform background checks and reverse image searches. So that little...
They got hacks.
It's like FBI level, bro.
Yeah.
That's yeah. Impressive. A spokesperson confirmed on Friday afternoon that the app was hacked. 72,000 images of women were stolen from the app, including 13,000 verification photos and images of government IDs.
Somebody checked that Michigan coach that was
Stallions.
No, the other guy, man. They had that other
guy. Yeah, the other guy. That
the
was...
guy in Michigan that had all the athletes, the female athletes.
Oh, yeah.
He hacked into the school's computer, got all those athletes... images.
Yeah, that was a bad one.
What are you saying, sir? Sorry, I was reading a fan text. People just some random things. Dude, man, I see why you don't be looking at it sometimes, brothers.
I know.
Yeah, I see what you're doing. Yeah. Corey Holcomb, your favorite comedian's favorite comedian. Writer of one of our favorite songs here in the G-Bag Nation is So Toxic. I played it on a Toxic Tuesday one time. I'll give you a little piece of it again. Corey Holcomb song.
D-O-B-C, single mom will always provide
shelter for me.
D-O-B-C, single mom will always provide
shelter for me.
He said, hey. Hey.
Putting the sauce all over that thing.
Yeah. Well, he threw out the first pitch at a Chicago White Sox game the other day, bro.
Oh, jeez.
Did anybody do any research and say, let me see what this guy got out here for us? Nah, I don't think so. I don't, because how many you going to have this guy throwing out the first pitch?
Always
provide shelter for me.
Yeah, he threw out the pitch at the White Sox game. He said it was awful and hit the ground. Never made it there. So
Clay Thompson threw a hell of a pitch. Oh, yeah. Clay
was beautiful.
In his bag with a batting helmet on. It was awesome.
Clay is...
He's a goober.
Got the AP on, bro. Clay got Meg Thee Stallion gyrating all over his house right now, bro. He's living his life, bro.
Yeah, he is.
I'm
When this story first came out, I was like, wow, this just doesn't seem like that much of a match. But
Now to see him still just killing it and all these people are jealous, he must really have something, you know? Super romantic.
Got the it factor.
Yeah.
He's got a boat.
Look at Dawson. You sound like you're doing a little lightweight hating right there.
Yeah, I thought, you know, I thought he's not very smart, kind of dorky, you know?
Wow.
That's how
you had her going for the intelligent type.
Captain Clay.
That's how Clay Thompson plays basketball.
Wow.
And, you know, his interviews have always just been like, hello, is anybody home? Like, light bulb's not on, but apparently when you get him off the basketball court, pretty sharp cat.
Wow.
You asked for it.
I'm trying to do it subtly. It did sound like some lightweight Hayden. Hey, these guys actually got something here.
Much more subtle.
You nailed it. You got me.
You sound like this right here, bro.
It's only a matter of time at this point. She brought me out in Houston. I know she got a crush on me by this point. She danced to two of my songs.
Two of my songs.
I know. She's listening to G-Bag Nation. Probably Cowboys fan.
I know she's got a crush on me. All right, my name is Lucius Alexander. I'll be black tomorrow, Lord willing, the creek don't browse. That's my time. I'm out. Peace.
There he goes. LA Live every night, 5:40 here in the G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. It's baseball night in Anaheim. We got the Rangers visiting the Angels. Where are we going, Wolchuk?
All right, let's go around the bases. How aggressive are these Rangers going to be? And who knew Ichiro had such a great sense of humor? That's next.